something very simple. You know, I have a small publishing imprint called the Julie Andrews Collection, and that is in-house with the bigger publishing company of HarperCollins. And because my daughter, Emma Walton Hamilton, and I write together sometimes, HarperCollins came to us and said, as a mother-daughter writing team, do you have anything that would be appropriate for Mother's Day? Could you consider doing a little book for that release? And we put our heads together and came up with the title and the idea. But as we wrote, we intended to really say what, you know, we know what children gain from their parents, particularly their mothers. But as we began to write the little piece, we suddenly realized, because we're both daughters, we're both mothers, just how much we learn from our children. And that's really the direction that the book takes. It's a book of gratitude, really, from both sides. So it's really for parents and children of all ages, from grandmas to grandchildren to daughters to even fathers could buy it for their daughters to give mum, if you know what I mean.
As I page through this book, it is apparent that family is a very, very important thing in your life.
It is. I suppose it is mostly in everybody's life. And for me, if my family is safe and secure, I can do my day job. But if they're not in a happy place, it's the first thing one worries about always.
It's obvious that you have a very close relationship with your daughter to put out a book like this.
It's a beautiful relationship.
Do you see that kind of close relationship in today's hectic world? Do you see that kind of close relationship? I don't want to say going the way of the dodo, but becoming more and more strained with all the different things that are out there to distract us from focusing on that sort of relationship?
Well, I don't think I know enough about the world to speak to that. I do know that I'm very fortunate to have this relationship. And I think that sometimes if children are not fortunate enough to have it with their parents, they sometimes have it with their grandparents. And I think as long as someone in a family loves you dearly, it can go a long way to making the world a better place. But you certainly do need that first and foremost.
This is a terrible question, but it must be asked. Is there enough of that kind of love in the world? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's a question that's very hard to ask. I wish I could say yes or no. All I can add is, God, I hope so. But I probably doubt it, but I hope so.
You know, in looking through this book, I had this thought that I grew up not talking back to my parents, and I have children of my own now, and it seems that the trend is to encourage them to have independent thoughts, which in turn gives them permission to talk back to parents. Is in your view, and obviously you're not an expert, but I'm just trying to get at where you're coming from with this, is that a good thing to empower children like that?
I think two things happen when you're a parent. I don't know what you feel about it, but this is my experience, which is that being a parent opens some kind of a dam or a well of loving emotion, and you kind of in some way put together all the pieces of mystery about your own child when you raise your own childhood, when you raise your own children. In other words, the pieces of the jigsaw fall into place when you observe your own children growing up. They fall into place upon reflection of your own life. So for me, raising kids was a wonderful rounding out of me as a whole human being. And the second thing is, I think these days we know more about allowing children those terrible teenage years, or allowing them a little power when they flex those young muscles. And I think there's more understanding than there used to be in, let's say, the Victorian times.
Why children's books? That's primarily what you write. What has attracted you to that genre?
By accident. This was nothing that I started off intending to do, but the more I do write for children, the more I feel a great need to speak for literacy. The rewards are phenomenal. Not that I do it for that, but when children come to me and say, your book made me begin to love reading, or yours was the first book I ever read, and it's still around, and I'm now giving it to my daughter or whatever. I'm terribly flattered and thrilled that that made some difference. I passionately believe in reading to children at a very, very early age. It's going to improve their minds. It's going to help them in school. It's going to do so many things, and it's such a bonding for parent and child if you can read to them at the earliest possible age, even before they're verbal. But how I fell into it, I think I began writing quite by accident. I had to pay a forfeit to one of my children when we were all playing a game, which required a forfeit, and I said, "Oh, what will that be?" And my children said, "Write us a story." And that's how my first children's book came about. I so enjoyed it that I wanted to go on writing. And as I've delved into the children's book world, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I love all that it is. I love the art connected with it. I love putting out a book that matters to children. Somehow I fell into a niche that I enjoyed very much indeed.
And your books encompass a wide range of ages, young adult, all the way down to books for very small children. How hard is it to encompass that sort of range in your writing?
Well, I think you try to center yourself into the subject at hand. You try to root yourself in that area. And I have raised all ages of kids. I mean, my children are all now grown up, and now I have lovely grandkids. And it's, I suppose, in a very corny way, and it's a little hackneyed to say this, but a little trite. It is part of it. Once one sort of submerges oneself in almost an acting role, and you say, "How would I like to see this? What would I like to convey to this age? What turns them on? What matters to little children? What kind of values could I bring that they don't even know they're receiving?" And certain things like that. I guess it's part of all I do.
Because of your movie roles, do you feel a certain expectation on you with your children's books, or are you free of that?
There's a tremendous expectation from myself. I bring the expectation to it because I don't think you can fool around. You've got to try and say it well. You've got to try and provide good literature, good words, new words, fresh thoughts. It's very important for children that they are nurtured that way. And so I do feel a tremendous obligation. I don't say I always get it right, but I really do try to get it right.
Obviously, there has to be expectations on you when people meet you on the street. Do you find that people expect you to be exactly like some of your favorite characters?
I find people to be so loving, so welcoming, so mostly friendly and endearing. I love meeting people. It's something that turns me on. And so I find people so welcoming, and I'm not sure if it's because of the roles that I play or partly because of my children's books. I don't know, but I'm thrilled by it.
You've been a performer your whole life. I've read that your first stage appearance came when you were 2 years old.
Well, I don't know if you could call that a stage. Well, yes, I did appear, I think, mm-hmm. on my aunt's dancing class, in my aunt's dancing class.
That leads me to this question. Do you see your writing career as a natural extension of your performing career? Is it a natural step for you?
I think it's certainly influenced by it, and perhaps it is a natural extension. My daughter that I write with, my Emma, said, "Mom, you've just found another way to use your voice." And it resonated with me. And I do, when I write, see the little stories, no matter how young an age or wherever the stories are going, I see them in a kind of large screen format, if you know what I mean. I see them, I hear them musically too, so it is an extension in a way. That sounds a little crazy, but I mean, what kind of opening does the book have? Does it have a fanfare? Is it a tranquil passage? And that seems musical to me.
I want to explore that for just a second. Do you hear your books in your head? And that's not the way to say it, but if the book seems musical to you, do you hear the stories in your head as you're coming up with
certainly
with them?
The ideas and where the flow might be going. It takes a while. I mean, one comes across so many stumbling blocks. But I think I think you hear and perhaps have a, more importantly, have a, an image as to what it is you're hoping to produce. That's the best I could say. I guess I do hear some of it, for, as I just mentioned, you know, does the opening have a fanfare? Does it have a quiet moment before the somebody bursts onto the scene, much like lovely piece of music would.
Something that I've always been fascinated about your career, and I just am so fortunate to have the opportunity to ask you about this. You landed the role in My Fair Lady at the ripe old age of 20. What was the audition like for that, if I can take you back a little
bit? Well, there were several. Alan J. Lerner, the brilliant lyricist and writer of adapter of George Bernard Shaw, you know the play is based on George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion,
yes.
And so he adapted it so well. And I think I must have met with him three or four times and read for him, and I'm sure they looked around, but eventually, because I sang as well and because of my age, you know, Eliza Doolittle should have been an 18 or 20-year-old young girl, I think they felt that I would be appropriate, and I'm so grateful they did.
What's the one kind of role you've always wanted to do but never had the opportunity to?
Oh, that's hard. I've never done any Shakespeare, and that would be wonderful to try to do. I would be very daunted by that, but I really don't have any wild ambitions. I've had so many wonderful opportunities to do so many lovely things. Musically, I've been so spoiled, and I've traveled so much. I've loved everything I've done. It's all a, you know, tremendous adventure and learning experience, really.
Do you think audiences would accept you if you were ever to play the role of a villain?
Well, I've done sort of fairly bitchy ladies from time to time. No, they haven't accepted me that much. But the truth is that, you know, I'm an actress. I'm not exactly Mary Poppins, and I'm not exactly Maria von Trapp. I'm an actress who was lucky enough to be offered those lovely roles. So I hope there's some other depths there that can be plumbed if and when, or, you know, that I hope there's more to it than that, though I certainly don't put them down. I'm thrilled to have been asked to do them.
Do you feel stereotyped by that frame of reference?
I don't. Not at all. As I say, I think I'm so blessed to have been asked to be in those wonderful movies, which happened to be family movies that would appeal to a new generation every 7 years. And I think these days, maybe the body of work speaks for itself.
You're the voice of Queen Lillian in the Shrek movies. What's it like for you doing voice work instead of full-on stage or screen acting?
Very interesting and challenging. It's a complete reversal of everything one does in live action. You go into a private booth and you don't work with your fellow actors. You just literally give the director your recorded voice, and he asks for variations on your lines. I mean, you could say the same line 10 different ways. And it's really a big issue of trust, whereas in a movie you're responsible for your role and where it's going, and although you work with your director, you hold the whole thing in your head. In animation, I think it's the director that holds the whole thing in his head and knows where the film is going, and you just trust that you hopefully are able to give him something that he wants.
How does it make you feel when interviewers like me refer to you as a living legend?
How does it make me feel? Flattered, a little shy, and totally unworthy most of the time, because I'm a mum and I work hard, and I think it's just the body of years and the body of work that probably makes you feel that way, but I feel very much an ordinary human being that loves doing what she does.
Dame Andrews, I sure appreciate your time. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. This was very thought-provoking. Made me really have to sort of sit back and think.